AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the Premiership returns after a League Cup break. Rangers are at Hampden, possibly for the final time in the league as Ross County visit. Hibs could be doing with a win against Dundee, and there's Dundee United against St Johnstone, as well as lower league action. Three big games tomorrow, including St Mirren via Celtic, team likely to be without Brighton-bound Matt O'Reilly. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
And what a weekend of high intrigue on and off the park, all tied into that transfer window. Philippe Clement says he can't get new players in until he gets the rejects out, but no sign of movement on that front. However, today he could play Gordon DL with his new golf hat and Mark Wilson and still beat Ross County, who are a disgrace.
I thought you were going to say speaking of rejects.
No. And then Celtic tomorrow, Matt O'Reilly is as good as a Brighton player. Kyogo Furuhashi, what does the immediate future hold? What kind of team will the manager be able to put out against St Mirren tomorrow? For me, Brendan Rodgers is beginning to look tetchy, but all part of the intrigue.
It's a weekend ahead with the fixtures split across Saturday and Sunday. Good fixtures as well, but I agree with Hugh. I think Rangers, for all their troubles and stumbling this season, Ross County are a bad bunch at the minute, so they've got to really fancy themselves at Hampden this afternoon. I'm looking at Hibs versus Dundee. How crucial a game is it at Easter Road for Hibs early on in the season? Dundee playing well, they are one of the last teams you'd want to face. And then when you look down the leagues in the Championship, as usual, always good fixtures. It's really competitive in that.
Yeah, like the boy said, looking forward to it, Gordon. I think we'll get plenty of goals this afternoon. A lot of good fixtures, and then on to tomorrow. And all eyes will be focused on Celtic to see if Matt O'Reilly's still a Celtic player.
Yes, we are here until 6 o'clock this evening, so settle down, do what you have to do, make yourselves comfortable. You can stay in touch all day at Clyde SSB on Twitter. As always, I will give you the nod when it's time to have your say on the phones. I'm sure we'll have plenty of action on the field. There's usually a bit of drama and controversy. We've got the transfer window, which is having huge impact on Scottish football headlines this morning. And as usual, we'll be looking for you to get involved throughout the day as well. So without further ado, let's go to the National Stadium. Maybe, just maybe, if you look at that calendar, the final time that Rangers will play a home league game there. Maybe not, though. We've come to expect the unexpected with that situation. But let's go to Gabriel ahead of Rangers against Ross County.
Yes, Gordon, as you say, Rangers hoping this is the last league game they have to play here before a return to their beloved Ibrox. It's their fourth game in a row at Hampden. We're expecting a bigger crowd today than last week when the National Stadium was less than half full for the 2-0 win over St Johnstone in the League Cup. It was quite a lacklustre display that day. Fans will want to see more intent from the off when 3 o'clock comes. Let's look at the teams then. Philippe Clement makes four changes from last weekend. A centre-half, Robin Proper, is not risked with one eye on next week. Of course, that huge opening Old Firm of the season. Mohamed Diamande is dropped to the bench, perhaps the most interesting call from the Belgian. Arsenilo and Kieran Dowell are also amongst the substitutes. Unsurprisingly, Conor Barron comes back into midfield. He's been Rangers' best player so far this campaign. Leon Balogun, Tom Lawrence and Cyril Desses also get the nod from the off. So the 11 is as follows. It's Jack Butland in goal, a defence of James Tavernier, John Souter, Leon Balogun and Jefte. Conor Barron and Dujon Sterling, who's playing with a wrist problem, will be at the base of midfield with Tom Lawrence just in front of them. It's Vaclav Cherny on the right wing, Ravi Matondo on the left and Cyril Desses leads the line. Substitutes, Kelly, Diomande, Dowell, Danilo, King, McCausland, Fraser, McKinnon and Rice. And as Hugh touched on at the top there, Ben Davis, Yanis Hadji and Todd Cantwell are all not in the squad as speculation surrounds their futures at the club. Will they leave before the deadline in less than 7 days' time? The visitors there in Ross County looking to bounce back from their shocking cup defeat to Spartans last weekend. They've drawn both of their opening league games so far, so they're looking to win for the first time this campaign. Don Cowie makes three changes from 7 days ago. James Brown, Ryan Leake and Noah Chilvers all drop to the bench. Akil Wright, Mickey Efete and Jack Greaves come into the 11. And it looks like a 4-4-2, Gordon. It'll be Ross Laidlaw in goal as ever. A defence of Akil Wright, Will Nightingale, Mickey Efete and George Harmon. Jack Greaves and Aidan Denham will play slightly wider with Victor Latourie and Connor Randall in the middle. Jordan White and Ronan Hale are up top. The substitutes, Hamilton, Brown, Leake, Allardyce, Chilvers, Nisbet, Samuel, Brophy and Reid. Ross Hardy is the match referee and Alan Muir is on VAR duty.
Looking forward to it. Let's start with the players that are here. Gordon Dalziel, what do you make of that Rangers team today? What sticks out for you?
I think the midfield three. You know, Diamande, I thought pre-season was going to have a terrific season. He's not got off to a great start, so he's decided whether it's resting him or just leaving him out, changing it a little bit. Sterling in there gives him that bit of power as well. Barron's been terrific. If I was a Rangers fan, I'd be delighted that Balogun's back. I think he gives him so much strength at the back. He allows him to go up the pitch. He's got bags of pace. Bit of pace in the wide areas as well. And if they create chances today, Dessers will definitely score goals.
I think Daz is right with Sterling. I think he was a player that came to the fore last season and quickly became Rangers' best player in a number of positions. Now, I think they've missed him. It's been a stop-start to the season for him. But him in that side, I think, certainly makes Rangers a better side, alongside Barron, who's been excellent. Going forward in the wide areas, I was interested to see how they would shape up in those areas. Cherney certainly looks like he could be a good player this season. And Matondo gives him that pace, that outlet, but you need a better end product for him. And the man up front, Dessers. You know, tried Danilo, didn't quite work, back to Dessers, a guy that no matter how many chances he misses, he always manages to get on the score sheet.
This is the last match before the Old Firm game. Therefore, psychologically, it's very important for Rangers. They cannot go to Celtic Park having done any more damage than they have already done. But Ross County, for me, a shambles. The result against the Spartans, a disgrace.
Other than that, though, like you know, that was obviously a horrific result, but that's it, is it not? I mean, they drew their opening two league games. They won all four in the League Cup. Are they a particular widespread shambles, or do you just mean the cup defeat?
Well, they
because what's been wrong with the rest?
Yeah, but historically they scramble around the bottom of the league in their playoff material.
Yeah, but the smaller teams are going to do that. I don't know if that means they're a shambles.
Well, we'll find out today then, and I can guarantee you a Rangers win.
You can't guarantee anything.
I'll tell you what, he stuck his neck out there. That's a brave prediction.
If I could bet you, I would bet, since you said that.
I don't think it's a brave prediction at all.
No, we know it's not brave. That's the point. You're missing the point here.
If Philippe Clement couldn't pick a side, any side, from what he's got at Ibrox, that could beat Ross County, then he really is in trouble.
I think you're maybe missing the point quite spectacularly, may I add. There is a gap between Rangers will win this game and Ross County are a disgrace and a shambles. There's a lot of area in between there where the truth may lie. Anyway, let's not get bogged down in it too much at the start. Marcus Hugh did rightly point out the psychological bit. Rangers simply could not afford for that points gap to be any bigger than it is. That sounds crazy, we're not even out of August yet, but you know what I mean, heading to Celtic Park and maybe even try and get a real lift from the performance today, because yes, they beat Motherwell at Hampden in the league, but the second half was a concern. Yes, they beat Ross County in the cup at Hampden, but it had its moments. So I think Philippe Clement, the Rangers fans, they really could be doing with a straightforward afternoon.
Well, it's certainly not been straightforward, yeah, from the beginning of the season till now. And patches they've looked okay. And I mentioned Cherney, he's looked good, he's looked a bright spark, so has Barron, but there's been too many underperforming. And when you get too many underperforming, that's what you get within the 90 minutes. You get, you know, spikes that look good, and then you get long lulls, and you get chances against you. And there's been too many chances against Rangers where they've needed bottling, their defence looks shaky. I agree with Dazzo today. I think Balogun, for whatever reason, has dropped out of Philippe Clement's thoughts for a starting 11 place, but because of the injury, he's found himself back in there. I think he can make them more solid. and I think they need that at the minute.
Well,
I think they need a solidity.
It comes as a result of Robin Proper's injury, though. He's going to be the number one pick in that area when he's fit.
Yeah, that's why he's been brought in. But I agree. I said earlier, I think Balogun is up there for me. I think he gives them the fact that they can get up the pitch a little bit, and it helps the middle of the park go and win the second balls and get themselves supporting the front men, because I think that it's important today. Lawrence hasn't really been a standout for me, but he's been very, very quiet.
See, how big a day is it for him? Because there was a feeling growing, it felt like, amongst those Rangers fans who get in touch with this show, that actually sort of going with that more solid look of Barron, Diamande and Sterling, that was the best three, that's the more suitable three. Tom Lawrence surely has to prove himself.
Yeah, I think that's the strongest three. If you were going to Celtic Park, and you would, I would probably play that as the strongest three. But they're at home today. Lawrence has got it in his locker, let's not be kidding, but he's got to start producing. You know, he's in and out of games at times for me, but today's a big one. I think Rangers will create a lot of chances against Ross County. I think that they could score a few goals as well.
Is that because they're a shambles?
No, it's because you predicted it, Hugh. I'm going with you. And I like the fact that they've got a bit of pace on the wide areas and a bit of trickery as well.
Hugh, the transfer picture for Rangers is a complex one in the sense that it's got moving parts and they have to wait for players really to leave before others can come in. It does look like we've perhaps seen the last of Ben Davies.
For sure.
Birmingham City on loan, or the last of them for now. Birmingham City on loan, not in the squad today. Is that going to happen?
I would think that's a certainty to happen, but it gets him off the wage bill, and that's what Philip Clement needs. He needs money freed up to bring others in. What happens to Cantwell and or Hadji is an altogether more interesting proposition. And what do you do with them if you can't get them off the wage bill by Friday? Do you then go to them and say, look, you're here, you might as well come back into the team? Cantwell, I think, has burnt his bridges with the Rangers supporters. He's far too much to say about getting out of the club. He's a problem for Philippe Clement. Hadji, I've no idea how he feels about anything, but it's a very precarious situation that Rangers find themselves in with the window due to close next Friday, 11:30, because Philippe Clement, transparent to a fault, has said, I can't bring anyone in unless they go.
Well, the scene is set at Hampden Rangers against Ross County. You have the thoughts of the guys, you have the team news as well from the National Stadium. So let's move around elsewhere. Always try by nature, David Friel, to not jump straight into sort of crisis narratives and managers being under pressure, but I do wonder how the Hibs ownership group, if we can call them that, would react if David Gray was to be in the receiving end of another difficult day.
Yeah, and it's a very complex ownership group as well, Gordon. I was actually having a look. It's almost exactly a year, I think, on Tuesday's anniversary since Lee Johnson was sacked from Hibs for, in the words of the club statement at the time, a poor start to the domestic season. I think Hibs fans are feeling deja vu right now. The more things change, the more things stay the same. After a nightmare few weeks, David Gray was chosen to replace Nick Montgomery after he was chosen to replace Lee Johnson in this managerial merry-go-round at Hibs. And surely David Gray will get time to make an impact, but as you kind of pointed out, patience is always in short supply at Hibs, and he really needs a home win today to ease some of the pressure on him, and it is mounting. Hibs have lost four of their last five. They're out of the Premier Sports Cup. They are pointless in the league. They lost to Celtic Hearts a few weeks ago. I think losing twice to Celtic in succession is no disgrace, but Hibs really need a reaction against Dundee today. I think for David Gray, for these players, defeat is unthinkable. However, they are up against a really good team. Tony Docky's Dundee side are flying. They'll be intent on making a capital double after beating Hearts a couple of weeks ago. They've played seven games this season. Dundee have scored 29 goals, and I'm sure they're going to come here believing they can win this game. There'll be a lot of focus on Luke McCowan. He's been a Hibs target throughout this window. I think with a couple of bids rejected, he will captain Dundee today in his usual midfield place. Celtic are also keeping an eye on him, so this is a big chance for Luke McCowan to impress. And I also wonder whether Steve Clarke will be keeping an eye on him ahead of the Scotland squad being announced. I'll just run through the teams for you. Hibs obviously lost to Celtic last week. They've made three changes from there. Josh Campbell, Nathan Mariah-Welsh and Rocky Bashiri are out. Kwon and Nicky Cadden make first starts for the club, and Rudy Malotnikov is also in. So it's a 4-3-3 for Hibs. Joseph Bursick in goals, Lewis Miller, Marvin Ekpeteta and Warner Horror and Jordan Abita at the back. Kwon, Joe Newell and Rudy Malotnikov in midfield, with Martin Boyle, Mikola Kuharevic and Nicky Cadden up front. Subs for Hibs are Smith, Chris Cadden, Amos McCurdy, Bowie,
Mariah Welsh, Megla Campbell and Rocky Bashiri. As for Dundee, just the two changes. John McCracken, he's their normal goalkeeper. He comes in for Trevor Carson, who played against Airdrie in the Cup last week. That was a 6-1 win. And Billy Cometio, new signing for Liverpool, is in for Ethan Ingram. He'll play at centre-half. So Dundee are going to line up 4-3-3 as well. It's John McCracken in goals, Jordan McGee, Billy Cometio, Javier Portales and Ziad Larkesh at the back. Lyle Cameron, Mo Silla and Luke McCown in midfield, with Seb Palmer holding, SPH, Simon Murray and Scott Tiffany up top. Subs for Dundee are Sharp, Carson, Ingram, Astley, Main, Graham, Lockhead and Robertson. Referee is Colin Stephen and VAR is Alistair Greave.
Proclaimers right on brand there at Easter Road for David Friel. What about Tannadice, the Craig Levein derby, will we call it that? Dundee United, St Johnston, Dave Galloway is there. Oh, there. It doesn't help when you press the wrong button for poor Dave Galloway. Dave, take it away.
There's a real feel-good factor about Dundee United, Gordon, after an unbeaten start to life back in the Premiership and a League Cup quarter-final place secured. They are also six games unbeaten in all competitions. St Johnston have been inconsistent, 3 wins and 3 defeats in their last 6 matches, but they have shown signs of what they can deliver, as they did with a fine 3-0 win at Kilmarnock. Contrasting fortunes for these teams in the Cup last weekend, so it'll be interesting to see what influence that could have on this afternoon's encounter. But both have some exciting talent. Hopefully that points towards an entertaining game. Meetings between these two have been close in recent years, with plenty one-goal wins and draws, and another close contest is very much on the cards here. Dundee United, I can tell you, are unchanged. So it's Jack Walton in goals. It's a back three of Emmanuel Adegboyega, Ross Graham and Declan Gallagher. Midfield, Lucas Stevenson, Craig Sibbald, Kevin Holt and Will Ferry. Up top, Jort van der Sande is supported by David Babunski and Christian Trapanovski. The subs, Richards, Molt, Odada, Middleton, Fotheringham, Doherty, Thompson, Cleal Harding and Meshack. St Johnston, well, just the one change for them. The one coming in is Aaron Essel. Out goes Cammy McPherson. So it's Josh Ray in goals. Looks like a back three of Lewis Nielsen, Jack Sanders and Kyle Cameron. Midfield, Dre Wright, Aaron Essel, Graham Carey, Matt Smith and Andre Raymond. Up top, Adama Sidibe and Benji Kimpioka. The substitutes, Sinclair, McPherson, Clark, Connor Smith, Sprangler, McPake, Kirk, Franzak and Kelchins. The match referee is Don Robertson, and on VAR duties this afternoon at Tannadice, it's Grant Irvin.
The good thing about these weekends where the games are split across Saturday and Sunday is we get to dip into the Championship. Falkirk against Partick Thistle looks like an absolute cracker, and Fraser Wishart is there.
Yes, a bit of Falkirk watch for me, Gordon, third week in a row, but I have to say that's not a hardship these days. You just sense there's something good happening here, and more importantly for us watching the games, John McGlynn has built a side that's good to watch and on a long winning streak in the league. And just speaking to supporters outside, staff in here, there's an excitement around the club, and that of course was added to when they deservedly beat Hearts here last week in the League Cup to set up a quarter-final at Celtic Park next month. And when you add to that 2 wins out of 2 this season, an unbeaten run in the league last season, you can see why many are tipping Falkirk to be in the mix come the end of the season. And more importantly, as I said earlier, they're an exciting team to watch, but they've got good players and many have got top league experience. But today's opponents, Partick Thistle, have also been tipped to win the division by most of us, I think, on this show. So a lot of expectation on Chris Doolan and his men, but they haven't had such a great start to the season. Scoring goals has been the problem. No goals in their 2 league games so far, and only 1 point. And you add into it, it was a good 0-0 against Motherwell in the Cup, but that makes 3 games without a goal, which is a bit of a surprise when you look at the attacking options in the team. They've had a couple of weeks to work on things because they didn't have a cup tie last Saturday, but a bit of a blow. Scott Robinson was sent off a couple of weeks ago against Raith. He's suspended, and Brian Graham misses this game through injury. But you have to think it will click soon, and today would be a good time for that to start, as defeat would see Jags fall 8 behind Falkirk even this early in the season. I think an exciting 90 minutes ahead. Can Falkirk keep the momentum going, or will Partick Thistle get their season started? For Falkirk, the team news unchanged, unsurprisingly, from that game against Hearts, 4-2-3-1. Nicky Hogarth's in goals, Keelan Adams, Cole Donaldson, Liam Henderson and Sean Mackey at the back end. Midfield, Brad Spencer and Dylan Tate, with Calvin Miller, Gary Oliver and Ethan Ross behind Ross McKeever. The substitutes are Owen Hayward, Finn Yates, Leon McCann, a fit again Callum Morrison, Alfredo Aguiman, Ryan Shanley, Michael McKenna, Flynn McCafferty and Caelan McCrone. For the Jags, it's a bit of all change. There's four changes from that 1-0 defeat. Croft and Graham are injured, Chalmers on the bench and Robinson suspended. In come Ashcroft, Dyack, Stanway and Casper Nielsen on loan from Brighton makes his debut. The young lad, he'll play on the right hand side of midfield. It's a 4-1-4-1 for Partick. Miles Robertson goals by Siri Williams, Lee Ashcroft, Dan O'Reilly and Harry Milne at the back. Luke McBeth will sit in midfield and ahead of him Casper Nielsen, Kyle Turner, Ben Stanway and Aidan Fitzpatrick, with Rico Diak as the lone striker. Mason McCready, Stuart Bannigan, Logan Chalmers, Liam Smith, Terry Abladi, Charlie Sayers, James Lyon and Xander McKenzie are on the bench. And the referee today is Lloyd Wilson.
Gordon, the Gordondale derby, here United Raith Rovers. Roger Hannah's keeping an eye on that one.
Yeah, of course, Daz isn't the only guy, Gordon, to have played for both sides. You'll know the tale of Frankie Musonda a couple of years at Raith Rovers. He's now here at Ayr a couple of years, and he's a Zambian international defender, 14 caps. He played at the Africa Cup of Nations at the start of the year, and his success here has spawned, would you believe, an Ayr United supporters club in Zambia. Now, it's a great story. Ayr United fans have launched a GoFundMe page. They have flown over a gentleman by the name of Charles Chibala, who has flown 7,700 miles from Lusaka. He is here at Somerset Park this afternoon, the day of his dreams, and Frankie got injured yesterday and is missing the game. You could not make it up. It just shows you there's always somebody worse off than you. It's the only change for the Championship leaders. Frankie drops out from the side that beat Hamilton 3-2 here last week to take Ayr 3 points clear at the top of the table. I mean, 17-year-old Dylan Watrett, who came on as a substitute last week, makes his first ever league start for the Orange today. They go with Harry Stone in goal as a back four, Dylan Watrett, George Stanger, Scott McMahon and Paddy Redding. Across the midfield, Jay Henderson, Ben Dempsey, Marco Roos and Jamie Murphy. And up top, it's George Oakley and Anton Dowds. On the bench, Russell McAllister and Silla, Tomlinson, McKenzie and Hasty, Walker, Devlin and McRoberts. As for Raith Rovers, they had 3-2-1 wins against Ayr last season, including two here at Somerset Park. John Potter is still at the helm after the sacking of Ian Murray. Several candidates have been linked to the vacancy, but it now looks like Linfield manager David Healy, once of Rangers in Northern Ireland, is now a short-priced favourite to take this job next week. Last season's Championship runners-up, they won 1-0 last time out at home to Partick a couple of weeks ago. Since then, they've added Lewis Jameson, striker on loan from St Mirren. He starts on the bench today, and starting in the 11 for the first time as a Raith Rovers player is Paul Hanlon, the former Hibs and Scotland defender, finally fit to start his Rovers career. He comes in with another ex-Hibby sub, Sam Stanton, going to bench. So they'll have Kevin Dabrowski in goal as a back four, Ross Matthews, Ewan Murray, Paul Hanlon and Liam Dick. The holders are Sean Byrne and Lewis Stevenson. Then is Lewis Gibson, Josh Mullen and Dylan Easton behind Callum Smith. Only six subs for Rovers: McNeil, Montague, Nicholson, Connolly, Stanton and Jameson. The referee is Ian Sneddon, and of course there's no VAR in the Championship.
There is not. We have a big talking point to look back on, as we often do at this time on a Saturday. We assess some of the week's biggest stories, and there's one brewing right now. It involves you Celtic fans. We'll do that next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are in the studio. We've given you team news ahead of our 3 o'clock featured matches, but as always at this time on a Saturday, we take a look at the week's biggest talking points, and one that is fairly fresh. Roger Hanna, we're not going back to early in the week. We have a situation where Matt O'Reilly appears to be on a plane down south this morning and is about to become a Brighton player.
Yeah, an easy jet flight. You would think with that new English Premier League wage, you might get a private jet down to the south coast of England. I don't know whether it's Brighton connections with Hugh paying for the ticket, Gordon, do we know? But listen, it's a move that was always going to happen. It will be the richest move in Scottish football history. I was told last night if all the add-ons are met in the deal, it will rise to close to £32 million. Brighton are going along very nicely without Matt O'Reilly. They won 3-0 at Everton last week. They've just beaten Manchester United by 2-1 this afternoon. They're top of the English Premier League. It's a great club for Matt O'Reilly to go and, you know, take on the next chapter of his career. I think he'll fit in very well. I'm fascinated. Billy Gilmour started the game today. So I wonder if that puts his proposed move to Napoli in jeopardy. You might see a midfield of O'Reilly and Gilmour going forward beyond the transfer window closing on Friday night. And it's a type of deal where everyone is a winner. Brighton get their man, O'Reilly gets his move to arguably the best league in the world, and Celtic are very, very well recompensed.
The Celtic fans are only a winner, Hugh, though, if he's replaced by someone in the same ballpark, or, you know, the team can cope without him, basically.
As things stand, the Celtic squad is now weaker than it was last season. That is a ludicrous state of affairs. 3 months they've had, and not one outfield player has been signed. Bernardo was there last season, and so was Adam Ida. Brendan Rodgers keeps going on about the Champions League and his need for players of quality so that he can make some form of impact. He keeps repeating the same phrase. He wants to compete in the Champions League and not participate. And he's got a squad now weaker than last season, and he's got a matter of days to try and get in players at a club where, for 3 months, they've sat on their hands.
That said, Fraser Wishart, this goes down as one of the best pieces of business Scottish football seen. Signed from League One in England for £1.5 million and sold for a Scottish record fee a couple of years later, having picked up a whole host of trophies along the way. That's how you do the player trading model. Hugh's right, you need to then wait and see what comes next, but that's how it's done, really.
Absolutely, and I think there'll be a few people behind the scenes at Celtic trying to claim the credit for signing Matt O'Reilly. Whoever did and whoever's involved in that can pat themselves on the back and get a big bonus, I think, because what an amazing signing he's been. And when he was signed, I don't think any of us thought he would go straight into the team, but Ange Postecoglou threw him into the team straight away when he signed from MK Dons. And I was thinking to myself, why has this lad been playing in League One all these years? Why isn't there a queue of Championship and Premiership teams at that stage wanting to sign him? So good business for Celtic, and to turn that around over a couple of years, 2.5 years, whatever else it is, then I think that's a great bit of business. It's brilliant for the player as well, so it's well done to him, because he's kicked on and he's really grabbed the opportunity and played well at the highest level, and played well in Europe and played well in Scotland. So it's win-win all round. But as Hugh said, all those people that are taking credit for the thing on Matt O'Reilly, they'll now be looking to them and saying, right, who have you got on your list? Who is there that we can sign to replace them? Because it's 8 Champions League games, hopefully 10 and maybe even more for Celtic to get to the qualification, get to the top 24. So there's a bigger burden on them in terms of the number of games in the Champions League this year as well. So I would imagine you'll see a few players coming in to Celtic over the next 4 or 5 days. But the pressure comes when the window gets closer and closer as well. It becomes a bit more frantic, and sometimes the signs are desperate. So a big week for Celtic's scouting department and player recruitment department.
Mark, from a Celtic perspective, how do you balance up the fact that it is an incredible piece of business against the hole he leaves in Brendan Rodgers' team?
Well, I think, you know, the guys, Fraser and Roger, who spoke, and Hugh, are all right in their own way. £30 million or £32 million of all add-ons, mate. You know, you're talking then about a £30 million profit for a player in a couple of seasons in Scottish football is remarkable business from the club. From the scouting department to the management who's managed them, to the player himself and to the CEO and the board who held out for that amount, because they could have sold him for £15 million probably about 6 weeks ago. And you're right, that's how player trading should be done in this country. We shouldn't just go for the first option. However, you cannot ignore the elephant in the room, and it's how long Celtic have taken to add to their squad. And Hugh is totally right, he's been saying it for weeks and weeks and weeks, but it becomes even more apparent when you lose your best player who started the season so, so well. So it's a crucial position. And you just wonder who is on the list. There must be a list to replace him. And how quickly can Celtic get that across? And how much are they willing to spend of that £30 million they've got in?
On a purely footballing sense, Gordon, that Mark's given us like the Celtic perspective from a neutral perspective, if you like, a fully football focused perspective. He's been great to watch in the Scottish Premiership, hasn't he? He's been a joy since he came, really.
Sad loss for Celtic. Massive hole he's left behind, because as big boots to fill, because he's come in. I totally agree with, I think it was Fraser was talking about, you know, you've seen him at NK Dons, you're thinking, why is Championship clubs, better clubs, not taking a chance on him? Celtic decided to go down that road. I think Brendan Rodgers has been absolutely brilliant for the boy. He's brought him on leaps and bounds. He's worth every penny. He's got any better things for me. I know Brighton are absolutely flying just now, and a big, big club, Brighton. But I think he's going to better things. I think he can do what Van Dijk and guys like that achieved in England, Gordon. But the guys are quite right to say it's going to be a big task replacement.
The financial aspect is undeniable. It is a sensational piece of business. It takes Celtic's money in the bank, I would estimate, to well over £100 million. But can we come back to the question of, are Celtic a bank or are they a football club? When the manager talks about the Champions League, they need to make an impact there. Bearing in mind that over the last two seasons in the Champions League, Celtic have played 12 games and won one of them. If the manager wants to make an impact in the Champions League, and the draw is to be made on Thursday, he's already bang up against it, because they have a matter of days not only to replace O'Reilly, because by replacing O'Reilly, you're then still standing still. That's you, you've replaced him. But the manager wanted additional quality. How many players of real good quality can Celtic assemble between now and next Friday when they spent the last 3 months signing no one?
I guess we'll find out in 6 days' time, David Friel, what the answer to that one is. Is it the is it the type of move that no one can really grumble with? No one can grudge Matt O'Reilly. We did have some Celtic fans earlier in the week sort of labelling Brighton as mid-table mediocrity and not sure why he would go there. But they're such a well-run club. They've made a really fast start to this season's English Premier League. They play attractive football. The structure is... everything about it just makes sense for every party, doesn't it? I mean, Hugh's right. The next bit is what Celtic do, but in many ways that's separate as to whether this was a good move or not for everyone.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to argue that in the traditional sense Brighton are bigger than Celtic, Gordon, but if you want to go to a well-run club, if you want to go to a club that develops players and helps them make the next step, and I'm talking about going to elite level, then Brighton is as good as any. I just wonder, with all this chat about Matt O'Reilly, I just wonder what Riley McGree is thinking, Gordon. You know, remember, he was the number one choice for that position in Ange Postecoglou's that transfer window. He decided to go to Middlesbrough, Celtic went to their second choice, that was Matt O'Reilly. The rest is history. Incredible how football can sometimes come down to sliding doors moments, but whoever spotted him, whoever asked Celtic to take the plunge, what a piece of scouting and what a piece of business all round.
I mean, Mark, there's been an air of inevitability about it. Atalanta, it feels like they've had 34 bids knocked back. I've lost count. I'm sure it's probably single figures somewhere. Even going back to Atletico Madrid in January, this has been inevitable. And you see him this morning, as Roger rightly points out, I can't believe he's got the Glasgow to Gatwick EasyJet that Gordon DL gets and that Hugh Keevans gets when he's going to see the grandkids.
Extra legroom as well.
But when the sneaky pictures are taken on the plane this morning, barring something unforeseeable, it's going to be secure and he won't be a Celtic player. He won't be in the squad tomorrow.
No, and I think it'll be a straightforward affair for Matt O'Reilly. You know, it's pretty easy to negotiate when you're going to that level of club. But you've got to look at the player and what he's given Celtic. And that's the way you know, if you've aspirations of coming to Scotland and going on to a higher level or a higher league, then you should look at what Matt O'Reilly did. He came in 1.5 million into a team that still had good players in his position, but worked tirelessly to get into that side and make himself an ever-present. And then to do it under two managers, and I think Daz mentioned the other night, Brendan Rodgers has to take credit as well, because he was good under Ange Postecoglou. But I think Brendan Rodgers got something else out of him in that attacking third. And that's what makes the English Premier League teams sit up and take notes.
Speaking of which, they have beaten Manchester United this lunchtime, and there's a great shot of Erik ten Hag on the touchline looking a bit down about things. Brighton scored in the 95th minute, but the fans behind him, one of them has got like a full seagull head mask on, Hugh. I think if that is not in your stocking by Christmas, we have failed you.
I just want that person to take it off to see if it's my grandson Archie.
But I like the look of that, I have to say, right up your street.
He called me at 9 o'clock this morning and told me it was an easy 3 points, and he was correct in the end. And
got there in the end.
Erik ten Hag is a dud.
What about the David Friel, I'm going to let you give us your thoughts on what Brendan Rodgers said about transfers yesterday before this Matt O'Reilly news, and almost how he said it, because I made a point of this last night. I listened to it all. It was 27 minutes. I just thought it was really revealing the way he went about everything. But you were there as well, so I just wonder if you read into it quite as much as I did.
Yeah, I did. It was 27 minutes, Gordon. It was fascinating. I must have sat through and interviewed Brendan Rodgers hundreds of times over his two spells as manager. I thought it was composed, relaxed, but he was very pointed in what he said. And to be honest with you, it was the same message as he said back in February 1st. I actually looked back this morning when he said the full thing about the board need to be braver in the transfer window, the club needs to be braver and pay a bit more. A lot of the same messages were coming out yesterday. He said himself it's a big 7 days. And for me, Brendan Rodgers pretty much laid it on the line to the Celtic board. And there was no Terminado talk. There was no, you know, hissy fits or toys out the pram or anything like that. He was pretty clear and said that he's done his job. The scouts have done their job. It's now up to the board to deliver deals. But I agree with the sense that if Celtic can't provide players in 3 months, I don't know how they're going to get 4 or 5 quality players in the space of a week. I find the whole business this summer pretty baffling, to be perfectly honest with you, and the Celtic board have put themselves under real pressure going into the final week of the window.
David, it begs this question for me, and you looked at him yesterday. If the deals are not done by Friday, what's the point in Brendan Rodgers staying at Celtic and repeating the same failure year in, year out with regard to Europe?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think his frustration now is that the money is there, and everybody can see the money is there. Celtic have had to put statements out to say that they're going to have more money than they expected. The Materazzi money's coming, the Champions League money's coming. You know, they're going to probably sell Gustav Lagerbielka. They've already brought in probably about £10 million almost, Mikey Johnson money. There is so much money there, and I think Brendan Rodgers' frustration is that the club maybe just aren't going that extra bit to get players in. Now, I'm sure there's various facets to that. I know it'll come down to wages, wage structures, and sometimes players just don't want to come to Scotland. I get that. But I can't believe that there hasn't been deals to be done for Celtic to get them up to a level where Brendan Rodgers feel they can compete in the Champions League, not go and, you know, make the last six, but just compete and not end with 4 points, with 2 points, and just go and make a better impact in that area. And as I said, you know, he said, you know, I asked him the question yesterday, is the time left for you to get done what you expect in terms of transfers? His words were, time will tell, it's a big 7 days. And I think to me that spoke volumes.
A big 7 days and a big afternoon before we eat into that, because huge games around the country this afternoon, and we will go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are in the studio, the top team round the grounds ahead of the 3 o'clock games. Let's hear from Philippe Clement ahead of the visit of Ross County to Hampden.
I still have pain in my stomach if I think about our game last season against Ross County. So we know it's a tough opponent who will do everything to take us out of the game. So I want confirmation from the players, the things they showed last week. That's what we've been working on during the week. And like this, to grow as a squad and then to strengthen the squad this week with a few players with added value towards the team for the short term. So we signed in the beginning of the transfer market several young players for the future, but we expect to do things also for the short term now.
So Ross County, the visitors to the National Stadium today, Hibs against Dundee. David Freel, I'm not sure it reaches Matt O'Reilly territory in terms of column inches, but look, McCowan, that's a real interesting story. He's lit up the Scottish Premiership in many ways. Does he go from Dundee to Hibs? Wonder how that one plays out. You're watching both today.
Yeah, it's an interesting, he's a very good player. He's a late bloomer. You know, I think people sometimes wrongly think he's 21, 22. He's not. He's in his mid-20s, and, you know, he's been around the Scottish game for a while now, but he's really found a home at Dundee. He's really blossomed under Tony Docherty, and I'm not surprised that Hibs have had bids rejected. I'm not surprised Celtic have had a really, really close look at him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he even came back again if Brendan Rodgers feels he needs a bit of squad competition in that area. You know, Hibs are keen to get him in, I think, just because of his energy, his leadership. He's a captain of Dundee, he leads by examples, takes all the set pieces. So, you know, he's an outstanding footballer, and I think he works really, really well with Lyle Cameron and Mo Salah in there. And, you know, I look at the Hibs midfield and I think they need someone like Quan who makes his debut today, because I think Joe Newell has been doing far too much of the heavy lifting himself. A good player, but probably not the quickest. I think he's got Quan in there today, and I think that's going to be a fascinating battle. But as I said earlier at the top of the show, you know, Hibs are under real pressure and they're up against the D side full of confidence. 29 goals at any level in 7 games is a remarkable feat, I think Tony Docherty will feel he can add to that today as well, Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, you're arguably one of the surprise packages or success stories from the Premiership last season in Dundee, David. But then what people do is they jump on that as being unlikely for Dundee to repeat it in it. Very early days, not going to predict that they go on top last season, but they could barely have done much better than the start of this campaign.
No, they've been outstanding, and I think stability is a big key. You know, Dundee, the turnover of players is pretty high, and it has been pretty high again. You know, you just look through the team today: Simon Murray, Billy Cometio, Ziad Larke, Seb Palmer Holden. You know, guys all come in during the summer, but I think they've got such a definitive structure, a way of playing. I think they've got a really good coach in Tony Docherty, and everybody you speak to says, you know, Mark will know from experience, a really good man manager. He gets the best out of players, he keeps things simple. But they play, you know, I always think when you look at Dundee, they're pretty solid defensively. They've always got a freedom to go and play and go and create. They've got Simon Murray up front now, who will run Hibs Ragas today. He's been here on loan before. He'll obviously want to, he'll have a point to prove as well. I think he's got a good record against Hibs too. But Scott Tiffany, one side of him, Seb Palmer holding the other. You know, they've got real firepower on this team. And, you know, I would actually make Dundee favourites today, to be honest with you, Gordon.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating game either way. Hibs fans really can't afford another poor result at the start of the season. Let's dip into the Championship. Falkirk against Partick Thistle. And always, every season, Fraser, we could just play it back about, you know, how tight this league is. It would be interesting to see if some team can actually break that. You know, not one of the so-called bigger teams that have been in the Championship, but if one team can really try and take this by the scruff of the neck from early on.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're a big fan of the Championship, as am I, Gordon. I think it's a very, very even league, more than it has been for a number of years this season, because you've not got a Dundee United or a club like Dundee as well, who are maybe bigger than the rest, got more money to spend. So one team could do it. I mean, I saw Jim Duffy at the start of the season tipping Falkirk to do back-to-back promotions. And to be honest with you, having seen what I've seen the last few weeks, you wouldn't bet against them. But there again, Thistle are our tips as well, and there's some good teams around here. I just think there's something happening at Falkirk. It's they've got it right off the pitch. They've had real problems. And remember, they'd 5 years in League One. 5 years. Yeah, there was 5,000 supporters here last season when they were in League One and on that good run, and the same last week against Hearts. So they're a decent-sized club in Scottish terms. And for the Jags as well, we're on the west of Scotland, Glasgow-based radio station. We like Partick Thistle, and you want them to get a wee turn at the Premiership, and it's been too many years for them to be down in League One as well. But then it's Scott Brown, Rogers watching that game as well, so I don't think you'll be able to choose. I don't think Endy will break away. I think it's going to be a very, very even season, but until somebody can actually knock the confidence and the momentum of Falkirk, they'll just go into every game thinking they're going to win it, and I think they'll win today as well, and that'll put them 8 points ahead of Partick Thistle. It's a big gap, even though it's very, very early in the season.
Yeah, they'll be absolutely flying after that cup win last weekend. With Ayr United, Roger, you're always going to have that Scott Brown factor. Sometimes players who had a big career don't go on to be good managers. Sometimes it works the opposite way. There's obviously no rhyme or reason, but naturally there's going to be a real focus on seeing how he takes to this management game. I know there was Fleetwood before, but now that he's sort of here, if you like, under our noses, be interesting to see how Ayr keep up this start to the season.
Yeah, very much so. He's hardly really put a foot wrong since he's been there. If you remember, they were in relegation trouble in the springtime. He came in and he managed to keep them up. There's a bit to spare, to be in credit to him, Gordon. And this season he's gone really well. It's 6 wins and just a defeat away at Premiership and Dundee United, that 2-1 on a Saturday night, since the start of the season in all competitions. 3 straight wins in the league, 10 goals scored in the league so far. It's an attacking lineup. It's caught the imagination of the home fans. And I think, you know, nobody really noticed that they won at Hamilton in day one. But when they won at Airdrie, they won at home to Airdrie, I should say, 5-0 on the telly on that Friday night, people began to sit up and pay attention. There was 500 more here against Hamilton last week than had been at that Airdrie game. I think they're expecting an even bigger crowd. The new North Stand is now open. The place is looking resplendent. And I think the local community are buying in to the Scott Brown revolution here.
The big game in Glasgow, though, comes at Hampden. It's Rangers against Ross County. And we'll go back to the National Stadium next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson in the studio, minutes away from kickoff in the 3 o'clock games, one of which of course is at Hampden. Ross County, the visitors, and Gabriel is there.
Yes, Gordon, Rangers have never lost a home game against Ross County. These matches at Hampden have all had a strange flavour to them. It's their fourth in a row here at the National Stadium. They'll hope it's their last league game that they have to play here. Longing for Ibrox, these supporters. The stadium much closer to capacity than it was last Saturday in the cup game against St Johnston. They really want a good performance, all of these supporters, just to give the whole club a lift heading into next weekend's huge opening Old Firm of the season. Dropping points today is simply out of the question. Already two behind Celtic, that gap cannot get any bigger before their trip to Parkhead next Sunday. We spoke to Philippe Clement about transfers yesterday. Players must leave before any arrive, though. That's what he seemed to be telling us. It looked like a team who need to strengthen in certain areas. But Ben Davis, Yanis Hadji and Todd Cantwell all looking to go towards the exit door. Captain James Tavernier leading the team out onto the pitch now. Ross County in red, Rangers in the blue. And let's have a look at both teams once again. Philippe Clement makes four changes to the side from last weekend. Robin Proper is one of those not risked with a focus on next weekend. Whilst Mohamed Diamande is one that's dropped to the bench. An interesting call from the Belgian. Unsurprisingly, Conor Barron comes back in. Leon Balogun, Tom Lawrence and Cyril Dessers are also in the 11. So it's Jack Butland in goal, a defence of James Tavernier, John Souter, Leon Balogun and Jeffdy. Conor Barron and Dujon Sterling will be at the base of midfield with Tom Lawrence just in front of them. Vaclav Cherny and Rabi Matondo will play on the wings. Cyril Dessers is Rangers number 9. Substitutes: Kelly, Diamande, Dowell, Danilo, King, McCausland, Fraser, McKinnon and Rice. The visitors, well, the Staggies are looking for their first league victory of the season after two draws from two. They impressed in the early stages of the Premier Sports Cup. But last weekend they crashed out, stunned by Spartans. Canton Carrie's men bounce back. They make three changes from 7 days ago, with Brown, Leek and Chilvers dropping down to the bench. Wright, Ifete and Greaves come into the 11. So it looks like a 4-4-2 with Ross Laidlaw in goal. The defence of Akil Wright, Will Nightingale, Miki Ifete and George Harmon. Jack Greaves, Victor Latoury, Connor Randall and Aidan Denham play across the middle. Jordan White and Ronan Hale are up top. The substitutes: Hamilton, Brown, Leek, Allardyce, Chilvers, Nisbet, Samuel, Brophy and Reid. The boys in the studio were touching on it earlier, Gordon. Everyone in this stadium can remember what happened the last time these two teams met. Rangers looking to avenge that 3-2 defeat up in Dingwall in April that derailed their title bid. But Rangers also looking to kickstart their campaign and head into that Old Firm game riding high. What a huge moment in the season we're already at. And we're still in August. Ross Hardy, the match referee, just giving the nod to Tom Lawrence there, who stands over the ball, Gordon. And we are about to get underway in today's 3 o'clock matches.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Well, games in Scotland already underway to the extent that Airdrie trail Queen's Park already by a goal to nil. Jack Turner's opened the scoring there. But in our featured matches, we are just getting underway, which means you three duds have to pick your ACCA, and it's five games as well today on our featured card. Take it away, Hugh.
No problem. Rangers by a distance against Ross County. Dundee to beat Hibs at Easter Road. Dundee United to beat St Johnston. Falkirk to beat Partick Thistle. And Air United, winners at home against Raith.
I'll be with you in this one. Rangers will win at Hampden quite comfortably. I think Hibs versus Dundee a draw. Dundee United, St Johnstone a draw. I'll go another draw at Falkirk. And Air United to beat Raith Rovers.
Just doesn't want to upset. Draw. He doesn't want to upset his employer. That's all it is.
No, a couple of good signings this week. So,
well, you obviously should
need to bed in. No, they need to bed in.
Right, I'm going Rangers. I'm going home one for Hibs. I think David Gray will go off the mark today. I'm going Dundee United and St Johnstone. I'm going St Johnstone. I'm going Falkirk, and I'm going for my old club, Air United. I think they are flying high.
Okay, good on you. We'll see how that plays out. At Clyde SSB, if you want to stay in touch on Twitter, of course, later on, much further down the line, you'll have the chance to have your say on the phones. You're talking about Partick Thistle making new signings. Is it Liam Smith that's the new signing?
Yeah.
Is he on the bench today?
Looks did an upbeat character.
Did you see the interview he did on Partick Thistle's own?
He was buzzing.
He was just like, and I've got sympathy for these young footballers who are thrust in front of a camera, but it was like the, it was like Andy Murray Max, you know, like the just no smiling, well, don't crack a smile, look like hell there against
his will.
He's
here for business, Gordon. That's what it looked like. Right, right. He's got his head screwed on.
Us journalists look at things in the wrong
Gordon
way.
When Gordon DL set up Super Scoreboard during the week, I texted you and said it was a low point in broadcasting history.
Oh.
Having seen the boys' interview, Gordon DL looks like Gary Lineker beside this guy.
Did you not think it was good?
I thought it was a low point in broadcasting history.
Hold on a minute.
For anyone who wants to know the context, I had an absolute disaster. I was in St Andrews for the Women's Open Golf. It took me 3 hours to get back. I did make the start of the show, but I did not make the little news intro that I usually do at like 2 minutes to six or 6 o'clock every night, which means Gordon DL did it. Mm. And in Hugh's words, it was a low point for broadcasting. I thought you did okay, for what it's worth.
I got a lot of good feedback.
Came in a bit early. You were a bit over eager.
Hold on a minute.
I thought, listening to the programme, that you'd gone over to Clydebank Shopping Centre and stopped a passerby to see if he could do it.
Thank you. Wrinkly head.
Super Scoreboard is up next. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025. But first, your latest news.
And first, your latest news.
You crashed a little bit at the start. You came in a bit early.
Well, Super Scoreboard is
You're competing with the music there. Or the sound
but
effects.
Fair
can we get,
to
why
me.
Don't we give him another go?
Was that a one take wonder?
I was told. Yeah. Good. I was told the minute that went to zero on the clock, get yourself
just
in
listen,
there.
Just listen and just get the feel for it. React.
But Hugh, he was outside 5 minutes before getting fresh air. The nerves in the guy. Because he thought he was having to drive the show because Gordon was in there. I was sitting with my legs crossed laughing.
He is, not to find a point in it, an absolute shyster. I watched him today, his conduct today, totally unbecoming. He wanders into this building and said, I said, ha ha, good morning, Dazzler, how are you? Back's killing me. And then somebody came in, and you can tell the story later, but somebody came in and gave him free golf equipment.
I'll tell it now, because it
good, wasn't it?
It was born on the show a couple of weeks ago. We said that Craig, who's Martin Keimer's caddy, who listens to the show, he tweeted in to say he was going to bring you golf balls in. Mm-hmm. And he did.
Did you hear that? Me, but I shared.
He turned up with them today, and you were like Usain Bolt. You went from having a sore back, you ran, you grabbed them off him. You then went inexplicably outside to put them in your car just to make sure that nobody takes
them. He got off the couch like a man in an ejector.
The story goes, I was outside and I met Craig Connolly outside, and I said, oh, how you doing? Why are you here? I thought he was at this one. And he says, but I've brought you golf stuff. And I went, is that Daz's golf stuff? And he went, no, I've brought you all golf stuff. And I went, brilliant. He comes in,
gives me a big
cuddle. He jumps up, grabs a bag, and goes through it like a kid on Christmas Day.
Shameful.
And then runs out to his car.
Sharing is caring.
But you were now 1 hour and 10 minutes into the show, and you're still wearing the hat that he gave you.
That's lovely, isn't it? I gave you his choice.
I know, but I just don't know why you're wearing it currently.
The headphones on top.
That's
a young man's game.
Yeah.
The headphones over the hat. Sad.
Nice.
Simon Donnelly usually does it. Younger than him. Maybe he's just pushing it at his age. Certainly not 63.
You should have seen the wedges he gave me when I walked out.
Anyway, so let's get back to normality if we can, because it's time that we got some goals going in. None in the top flight, sadly, but Dumbarton nil Arbroath 1. Scott Stewart with the goal there. Difficult time for Arbroath, parted company with Jim McIntyre after the game last week, didn't he?
He's had a tough time that Jim McIntyre took over last season. Remember, the squad was decimated. Arbroath were in a totally different place from where they were under Dick Campbell, and he struggled to get any sort of joy out of them.
Have they got a replacement yet?
Yeah, they've got an interim who, I read his quotes in the newspaper, he makes himself sound like Pep Guardiola.
Who is it, Hugh?
He's
man,
so
geezy wrong with that.
So does this guy standing next to me.
Yeah. Got to self-publicise you.
How did Partick Thistle under-18s get on yesterday?
Well, our winning run was halted.
Have you heard this?
Bye. Unfortunately, there was an accident on the road, so the game got postponed.
Shouldn't really laugh then.
Well, no, certainly shouldn't. But we were travelling up 9:30 on the bus. We met all the way up, got just past Glen Eagles, and the road was shut. No, we sat there for a couple of hours, and we had to about turn, come down. So it took us 3 hours round trip, and it resulted in us back at Firhill with the game cancelled.
Who were you meant to be playing?
Inverness. In Dingwall. Oh. So work that one out. That's where Inverness play their games, at the Ross County training ground.
So secret, as long as everyone is safe from the accident, secretly you weren't bothered
you
that
loved
you had
it.
To
you loved
come back
it.
Down the road.
I always wanted to play, but see when you're getting in the house at normal time rather than 10 o'clock at night, it's a bonus.
Right, no goals to tell you about in our featured matches, as you would expect. Rangers having a bit of possession early on, nothing really happening with it yet. Similar story at Easter Road, nothing happening there. Falkirk had a semi-early chance against Partick Thistle, but we are still goalless in our featured matches. So let's do this, Hugh, whilst we get the chance, okay. Shall we?
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I think both questions are tough today, but here's the first half. Go at it. Since 2019, five Scots have scored in the playoff round of a European competition for a Scottish club. Name them. Since 2019, five Scots have scored in the playoff round of a European competition for a Scottish club. Who are they?
I would be so bad at that, because trying to distinguish what's a playoff round, and you know, you get kind of mixed up with all the rounds that go into the qualification process. The good thing is your knowledge is much better than mine, and I think you'll manage that. So at Clyde SSB, get all of your answers down on one tweet and send it over as quick as you can. It is a race, essentially. That's the aim of the game. So let's hear from you at Clyde SSB. Kwon gone on loan from Celtic to Hibs. No recall to replace Matt O'Reilly, and he has just hit the hospitality box window with a shot at Easter Road. So what can you do? He's got his chance for Ross County, by the way, and a very, very good save from Jack Butland. That was a brilliant running shot from Ross County. Ronan Hale, the new striker who's come in from Irish football, he's looked lively since he came to the club. Big shoes to fill, obviously, in Simon Murray, but he had the defence backtracking. He couldn't have done much more with a shot, and it's a good double save from Jack Butland.
How many times? Jack Butland's a very good goalkeeper, we know that, but how many times have we said that in the opening stages of this season? Yeah, good save from Jack Butland.
Too
Rangers
busy.
Have needed him. Too busy.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
I'll tell you who has started the season on fire: Dundee, and Scott Tiffany as well. It's been a great story for him. Didn't start the Derby, came on, made an impact, stayed in the team for the Hearts game, lit that up, and he's opened the scoring at Easter Road. I can just imagine. In fact, I can almost hear from the other end of the M8 how the Hibs fans are taking this. And even more annoyingly for David Gray, it is another Hibs disaster at the back. They keep giving the ball to the opposition attackers. That's a problem, especially when they stick the ball in the back of the net.
Eccentric at the back. You know,
that is the politest way you could possibly have put that.
The three goals at St Mirren, awful. And then the goal they conceded at Celtic Park last Sunday, when the defender hits blind pass back to goalkeeper. Goalkeeper then hits it in off a Celtic player. So, you know, they are awful at the moment. And the worst thing possible was for Dundee to score first and score early into the bargain, because, as you say, Gordon, Easter Road is now a grumpy place.
They kind of do it every week, though. You'll remember St Mirren on the opening game of the league season. They did it then. Hughes Wright did it against Celtic in the cup. Gave one to Kyogo in the league game at Celtic Park, but he couldn't take advantage of it. It is just a real constant theme.
It's almost like it's a cursed position for us, because you take this back to last season. Different players, same mistakes, different manager as well. But in the modern game, when lots of managers, the majority, try and play it for the back, you need to make sure your players can play out from the back. And they look like they've replaced like Will Fish and Bashiri.
See, just on that, did you see his move?
£2 million.
Does this not just show you that you need it? It's all about the CV and where you've been. Will Fish, £2 million
to
Cardiff.
My goodness.
Having seen, with no offence, he seems like a lovely chap. But having seen Will Fish at Hibs, he's moving for £2 million.
He's not £2 million. Not in a million years.
The big problem for David Gray is that Bill Foley, head of the investment group who put £6 million into him, has already said, I don't want him as manager. So unless this turns around quickly, David Gray's in bother.
Well, a long way to go in this one, so we'll see. Annan nil, Alloa 1, Stephen Scougal. There's a Scotsman who's captain of Charlton these days. Greg Docherty has put Charlton 1 up at home to Bolton. I wonder, Gordon, if Philippe Clement will be just a touch frustrated, because I'm not going all Hugh Keevans on you here. There are 11 minutes gone of this game, so let's exercise a touch of patience. But Rangers haven't really done much, and actually it's County that have threatened the most.
Yeah, Ross County's had the best opportunity. Jack Butland produces a good save. I think that Rangers will be so desperate just to get this game over, but get 3 points, Gordon. I think they will win the game like everybody else and get back to Ibrox as quick as possible. Hampden is doing them absolutely no favours. I'm not making excuses for them, because if they were playing in a cup tie at Hampden, a semi-final or a final against Ross County, you would back Rangers all day long. But I just think they need to get back to Ibrox.
Is there
quicker
truth that this could be the last game then? I read some reports.
Just if you look at the fixtures. So Celtic away next week.
Yep.
An international break. Dundee United away.
Okay.
And it was always Rangers. Nothing was ever confirmed. The Scottish FA's announcement actually said that they would play there until the international break. The update John Bennett gave said, you know, at the end of September. But the 21st of September is the home game against Dundee in the Cup. Mm-hmm. And as things stand, that game has been announced as venue TBC. So I think there's a hope that something happens amongst, when I say a hope amongst the Rangers fans. And you never know, but we will wait and see. I've just ruined my stat I was going to give you. So Man City have equalised, but they were 1-0 down at home to Ipswich. Ooh. Newly promoted Ipswich. Erling Haaland has scored the,
and what was the stat?
The penalty to pull one level. It's not even that exciting. It just tickled me this morning, because it just shows you how things change with the money that come into the game and the English Premier League money. I read on Twitter this morning that the head-to-head record between Ipswich and Man City is in favour of Ipswich.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Ipswich have beaten Man City 28 times, and Man City have only beaten them 23. See, before the big bucks came along.
Yeah, the Cubs were.
Ipswich have spent £100 million this summer on players. Ipswich, £100 million, and Ed Sheeran's put a few bob in at the same time.
Oh, that's right. He's involved, isn't he?
Yeah. By the way, they looked okay last week. Yeah. Was it against Liverpool for large periods of that? Brave, the way they were pressing, play good
They'll
football.
Get
By the way, it's a hard start. Relegated. When a Liverpool at home and Man City away.
They're gone already.
Ange wasn't happy the other night, was he? He looked exasperated when Spurs conceded late on. He's without his big money striker, but Tottenham have taken the lead against Everton. Oh, and sorry about your head-to-heads. You'll need to add one on. Kevin De Bruyne has Man City 2-1 up against Ipswich. Anyway, Mark, this will be the talk of Firhill this week, so you'll need to pay attention. There are still Partick Thistle fans stuck outside the Falkirk Stadium.
Why?
Can't get in. Too many of them. A popular game.
Just shows you, Mark. I tell you.
No, I don't mean there's too many. I mean, like, too many in terms of for Falkirk to handle it currently, whatever they're doing wrong, turnstiles, I don't know, but they're stuck outside. I can see a picture of a queue of Thistle fans.
Is it not fair for Fraser to get down and just hold the game up a little bit and let the fans get in?
Yeah, that is disappointing. Because that's one of our best stadiums at that level. You know, Falkirk, since they've done the redevelopment work in there, it's a terrific venue. So that's a disappointment.
For Rangers, Gordon, you don't want to give fans who are already just a bit grumpy anything to hang on to. And Rangers, James Tavernier's given it away a couple of times in the box, and then Rabbi Matondo just tried a floated pass to James Tavernier that goes right out for a throw-in. So there's a real slackness there early on.
Yeah, I don't think the manager will be happy. He has made changes today. I've got to say, I'm a massive Tavernier fan, but I don't think he started the season particularly well. I think he's very slack just now. Matondo for me is, I always look at Matondo as an impact player. I think coming off the bench, he gives you something. I've never really seen him starting a game and being absolutely outstanding. But look, it's early doors at Rangers, but You always want a quick goal because it settles everything down.
Man City 3, Ipswich 1. But it's also sort of where Rangers are at. Mark, I think people are entitled to say they don't think Rabi Matondo is in the strongest starting 11, but there are no other obvious issues. It's not like Rangers are leaving out a superstar in place of Rabi Matondo. I think Oscar Cortez is due back in initial training work next week, so that helps things, but it's just not an area that they're blessed.
No, certainly not. And look, Philip, come on, even though he can't bring players in, I'm pretty sure he'll have a list that he wants to bring in if possible. And I'm sure people in the wide area would be part of that list because it's a poor selection. You know, you look at Matondo, he's second choice to Cortez. Tierney, on the other side, looks okay. I'm not quite in the Hugh Keevans fan club yet, but he looks like he's got something. But who's the backup to him? McCausland, I'm not being harsh on the young man because he's a young player, but if there was better players there, would he be getting regular game time? Again, I would doubt that because I have to look at what he produces when he plays. It's not very much. So it's a problem area. And yet, when I say that, you've still got a guy that's up front who gets all the stick, who still scores goals when he's now got probably the best surface to him. So it's an area that probably Rangers fans wish they were stronger.
An announcement on your teaser, Hugh. It's six answers that we're looking for, not five. So we're just keeping you on your toes. You know we like to do that quite often. Just keeping you on your toes. Six Scotsmen since 2019 who've scored in the playoff round of a European competition for a Scottish club. Six. As if it wasn't hard enough.
The other incentive that Rangers can't afford to overlook today is that Celtic arguably have a tougher fixture tomorrow than Rangers have today. So, you know, that Rangers really, really need the win and hope that Celtic, in the immediate aftermath of Matt O'Reilly's move, slip up.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And they do have the lead. It's Rangers 1, Ross County 0. It is Cyril Dessers, another player who we said could do with a productive afternoon. Made it. It was Tom Lawrence. Great work from him. Slipped it through. Dessers took his time, provided the finish, and Rangers are up and running.
My prediction is starting to look great, isn't it?
Your top scorer.
Yeah. He's producing the goods. Listen, I'm delighted for that lad because I do agree with Mark. I think he takes a lot of stick, and it's just, you know, it doesn't matter what he's doing. If he's playing well, fine. And then just that one mistake, maybe no holding the ball up or whatever it may be, the Rangers fans are very quick to go on to him. But he's starting to find the back of the net, this guy, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. I think he's getting better and better. 22 last season. I think he's got a goodbye that this season.
First caller last night on Super Scoreboard wanted Celtic to sign Dessers.
Yeah, that's what I would do. He's their best. He's Rangers' best player.
Yeah, I can't see it, I have to say. But Mark, we did mention it, Tom Lawrence, so credit where it's due. He's just not been creative enough over the piece since he came to Rangers, but he does really well. Good footwork, slips it to Dessers, and it's a brilliant finish.
Yeah, without doubt. Good work from Lawrence, you're right, because it's a hard one to take on that kind of turn, and he spins away. He's still got a lot to do. I think Dessers' movement's good. Actually, when you see where he starts to where he peels off, he knows where
offside.
The space is.
He came back and he timed his run perfectly well.
We might have a second for Dundee. They're checking it for offside. It was Lyle Cameron, a deflected shot. David Gray has got everything crossed that this is given as offside, but we'll have a look. But here in Glasgow, Rangers 1, Ross County 0, Cyril Dessers. And that can often be the hardest part. Is getting in front. What we have seen this season, though, it doesn't make it a foregone conclusion. Rangers dominated early against Motherwell, took the lead, and it still ended up a difficult end in some ways. So I suppose the key is just really hammering home that advantage.
Unless I'm wrong, I totally agree with you, Gordon, but they don't go out and really stamp their authority after the first goal and go and give a team a hiding. But Ross County, probably low in confidence, going down to Spartans, get knocked out of the cup. They're at Hampden today against Rangers. Rangers taking an early lead. This could be a long day. I fancy Rangers to win this comfortably this afternoon. But Hibs are in real trouble if this goal goes in.
Hugh, remind us of your teaser while we can, please.
Yes, there are six Scots who have scored in the playoff round of a European competition for a Scottish club. Who are they?
There are six. Remember, it probably still says five on Twitter, but it is six. I'm looking through the answers coming in, and some of them are pretty good, I have to say. really good. Michael Smith wants to throw in. Where are we? Hold on, there's a couple. By the way, I think everyone's getting them all right, just maybe missing out the odd one. Charlie wants to throw in Scott Arfield.
Throw him back out.
He's Canadian.
Yeah, when he plays his football for Canada, he's not on the list. Mikey Johnson, similarly, plays his football for
the Republic of Ireland.
He's not on your list anyway. But keep the guesses going at Clyde SSB. That is where you send them. Rangers had a big chance. It should really be 2-0. We've just praised Tom Lawrence, but this is now a huge miss. He goes through and goal and drags it wide of the post.
But it's all consistent with Rangers turning the screw. They may have had the occasional misplaced pass, Robbie Matondo, etc., but they are gradually turning the screw against a side who cannot cope with it.
No goal for Dundee, so it remains 1-0.
Big break.
Nil. Queen's Park are 2-0 up at Airdrie. Zach Rudden with the goal there. So the goals are going in.
What's happened to Airdrie this season?
Oh, they're in a little
5-0 at Ayr, 2-0 down at home.
They're just struggling a little
bit. Battered in the cup, of course.
Yeah.
Dundee.
They don't want to lose too much ground. Obviously, if Ayr United can get a win today at home against Raith Rovers. But they're sitting there fifth, 3 points. It's not looking good for them this season.
23 minutes gone.
Written them off.
I've written them off already.
23 gone, and there are still Partick Thistle fans queuing outside
that's
the stadium.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, of course.
You should get a reduction in your money.
Are you going up the road?
Well, that's unacceptable. You think of the travel involved in that, and you bought your ticket.
I'd love that. Well, turn up at a game, you can't again just go, I'm a wee here.
Well, you bought your ticket. You would love that if you were employed and you were still getting paid for your shift.
I know this is an alien concept to you, but some people pay their hard earned money to go to football games.
Do you not pay there, or do you buy? Obviously, they've not paid in yet, so they've not lost any money.
Well, that's a fair point, but they might have bought tickets.
Is it
in
pay
advance
at the gate, is it?
But you know, when you're talking about the possibility of Falkirk back to back promotions, you have got to be better than that on match day. You simply have to be better than that. If you want to play in the top division, what would happen if Celtic or Rangers were playing?
Some of these turnstiles aren't cash at the gate anymore. You have to do this through either an app or online before you go.
Maybe a one-off, because Hearts played there last week, didn't they, in the cup? So with no issues with Hearts, and Hearts take a big, big following. So look,
yeah, I think
let's
by the looks
cut
of it,
them some slack
the stand,
or move them back to Brockville.
The stand behind the goal where the away fans are, there is a big section of it sort of closed off as if they weren't expecting that to be needed, and it's making it a bit slower for everyone getting in. But we're now more than a quarter of the way through the game, and some Partick Thistle fans can't get in. That's not ideal. They're not missing much in front of goal, but that's maybe not the point. Oh dear. And it's just got worse for Partick Thistle, not in the sense that they've conceded, but Ben Stanway has been sent off. 2 yellows already, and the second for simulation. Embarrassed as he trudges off, and understandably, you're already on a booking, and then you take a dive and get yourself sent off. That is not ideal.
You've been taking training this week?
He's a nice kid, Ben, as well. Good player. Feel for him, but
he's
should
a
know
better diver.
He's still not as good as
he's a good, honest pro.
Joe Wright
can't
was off.
Be honest, he dived.
Joe Wright was off for 2 yellows
strong
in 16 minutes.
That's right,
so
yeah.
Strong breeze.
He's only a wee lad, so you never know. It has been windy this morning.
You got booked for diving once, didn't you?
It was a farce, though, because I clearly felt contact on my heel.
What game was it?
It was at Ibrox.
Oh, that's right, a nice small under the radar
game. You know, see, if we had VAR back in those days, would have been hauled up, or the referee would have.
You think so?
There's contact there. I heard it
from.
You heard it.
Who? I don't know.
Papage.
I don't know. I would have been. I used to breeze by him all the time.
He destroyed you. Who's the other one that used to destroy you?
Oh, Big Cousin.
He loved a Friday. He used to go out on a Friday night knowing he was playing against you on a Saturday, mate.
Another chance for Rangers. Dessers tackled in the box. It fell to Matondo. It did clip the top of the bar and has gone over. He probably should do better, but this is good stuff from Rangers. They're very much on the front foot. They're a goal in front and looking to add to it very soon.
Jack Butland had a great save early on, but he appears to be a spectator now because the traffic is only heading one way.
That sounds like exactly what Rangers fans needed to see a performance in the first 45 minutes that kind of blows a team away and creates plenty of chances. And they've taken one. The only issue I think some will have is you can make that an easy afternoon for yourself. If Lawrence takes his chance, Matondo hitting the bar, you get another one. think Ross County might fold. So
yeah, two will be enough to see them. No
Jamie
problem.
Murphy's hit the post for Ayr as they look to try and take the lead. Another reminder of your teaser, please, Hugh.
Okay, there are six Scots who have scored in the playoff round of a European competition for a Scottish club. Who are they?
Jason Kerr.
No.
Michael O'Halloran.
No, sir.
Okay, hopefully that helps you, because those are popular wrong answers. They were third qualification rounds, not the playoff round. So the round before. Ange Ball is working today. Tottenham 2, Everton 0. Son has the second. Dundee are by far the better team at Easter Road. Hibs looking very disjointed.
David enjoying his afternoon at Easter Road. Suitably. That's good. That's good. I like to hear that.
Well, David Gray's had the break with the goal chopped off, but this is clearly a project that's in trouble. You know, whether it's the cup against Celtic, now that's understandable. Celtic Park, goals down early on, defensive laxity all over the place. And to lose to Celtic at Easter Road on a day when Celtic played very well and scored good goals, understandable. The other stuff isn't. The battering from St Mirren, down at home to Dundee, and an investment party, £6 million put into the club, who don't want the manager there.
It doesn't get remembered too much if you go through in the League Cup, which in fairness to Hibs they did, but worth bearing in mind they lost 1-0 to Kilty in the League Cup group stages as well. So there have been signs there, although they absolutely romped their other group stage games. But yeah, it doesn't help when you play Celtic twice at the start of a season.
No, difficult start for David Gray. You've got to give him a bit of time. He's brought in players as well and need bedded in. But you know, in this football, the patience nowadays, we've seen a manager getting sacked after one game, Murray at Raith Rovers, incredibly. So you're never safe, but he needs to get 3 points,
I think,
somewhere.
Sometimes the issue with appointments like David Gray is he's been there at the club before, on the coaching team before, and there isn't that real freshness. The players who stay at the club just see it as maybe the same, with a few things tweaked. I know he's well respected, but just the situation he finds himself in, I think it'd be hard.
I know it's a boring counter argument. Maybe they just don't have very good players currently, even though they've tried to bring new ones in.
I think defensively they're a shambles going. I really do. I don't think they've improved that.
How can you keep making the same mistakes? That's what I mean. So some of the ideas seem the same as the previous regime. When you've got the same member of the coaching team, you know, you've brought in new players, but can they play it from the back?
One of the new players is Nicky Cadden. He had a free kick, but it was blocked 25 yards out. Hamilton Accies 1, Dunfermline 0. Regan Tumulty. Noticed a statement from Dunfermline this morning.
They're up for sale,
aren't they, from their German owners. Just a sort of holding statement, if you like. No real update, saying they're working with all parties to try and find a solution. They're 1-0 down to the Accies. Partick Thistle are becoming frustrated. Kyle Turner and Rico Diak, who does appear to be on the referee's team lines this week because he's been booked. So update your comet system.
Juicy Turner's been booked as well.
Yeah.
Now got off to a good start, Partick.
What are you teaching them there? They all seem just aggression, but angry and frustrated.
Sing song on the bus.
That's what I was saying. I thought, you know, when you're a young player,
what do you do?
And the game gets called off, you're gutted, didn't you? But when we told the young boys yesterday, they were buzzing because they get the day off school. They've all had the day off school to go up.
And then,
so you tell them, they were
right,
up the back of the bus. What an atmosphere it was going back down the road.
Playing I Spy.
Oh, brilliant. I would have been devastated if the game was off in those days.
I loved that.
When a game was off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and your professional career, even when you were younger.
Oh yeah, I quite liked that.
Why? Surely there must have been a time you liked playing football.
Not really, if I'm honest.
But when you were younger and didn't they get paid for it? It wasn't their job.
Ah, listen, when you're a kid at school, you like getting about, because I was always the best player, and you had your own ball and you played and you scored goals, great. But when you step up to professional, it's a waste of Saturday.
No offence to everyone listening,
especially Aberdeen away, because that was a waste of players.
What did I say to you about low points in broadcasting?
Anyway, Hibs, although, you know, we're talking about playing out when you can't, but sometimes the alternative's not there either. There was no movement. The goalie's then forced to launch it straight out the park. Loud jeers from the Easter Road stand. So it's not as simple as, oh, you know, Hibs are overdoing it, and sometimes they just need to get it up the park, because if you do that aimlessly, that doesn't work either.
A second goal for Dundee empties the place. They'll be off to see the Edinburgh Fringe rather than anything to do with Hibs.
That's day to day, isn't it?
Yep. Edinburgh Fringe. Is it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go through.
I was. I'm devastated. I was going to go through tomorrow.
See the tidy up. The street sweepers.
Everybody's chucked it. They're all the way home.
You're quite cultured, Mark Wilson. I'd imagine you've been.
I have been, not this time round. My mum and dad was there last week. Went to the tattoo up at the castle. Loved it. Yeah, I'd got them tickets. By the way,
do you need to pay for
155 quid?
What? What? You're kidding me on.
I swear.
What, for a couple of bagpipes?
Do is moan about the cost of things.
Exactly.
On the show.
Oh, I wouldn't have paid that.
You don't pay for anything.
I do pay for quite a lot. I paid to go on the Fairmont the other day there, and it was 60 quid, and I nearly had a heart attack.
It's just like, listen to two old guys just moaning at a bar.
We expect more freebies. We've already got golf freebies today.
I love that.
We need more.
This is a serious, well respected radio show.
Yeah.
Just a vehicle for you to whinge about having to spend
your
money.
We don't have the finances that you and Hugh have. You know what I mean? Well, we're skint.
What are the two Muppets on the balcony called again?
Statler Waldorf.
Mark and Daz.
I don't moan as much as you. I'm pretty.
I'll tell you, since we're on the topic of low points for broadcasting, genuinely, this has stayed with me all week. The other night, see when you dipped your pen into your boiling hot Lemsip and then burnt Mark Wilson's neck with it. I thought I'd seen it all from you two. I watched it back when I got home. I showed my wife. I sent it to my mates. I just baffled at the stupidity of it on live radio.
Ridiculous. 63.
He was annoying me. I'm 62. Stop saying I'm 63.
62, Hugh.
He was annoying me, Hugh. Right, and I thought,
boiling
you know,
water, yeah. Pen in, right on his neck.
Yeah.
You know what? I got a fright as well. And I was so, I've never been so close to swearing on air in my life. I mean, how stupid. And it did burn me. See, for the rest of the show, you know that way I didn't know if it was in my head or if I was actually scalded. I kept saying, if I get a red mark in my neck.
If it had been the other way round, the Dazzler would have
taking
gone
good
to
fun.
The lawyer for industrial injury.
Oh yeah, I would have fell.
Compensation.
I'd have been rolling about the ground. Yeah. They'd have had to come in with a stretcher for me, Hugh.
That's a glimpse of what the room was like for 12 days in Germany. Stuff like that. Just
injuries in the workplace. Anyway, Hibs are threatening from a Lewis Miller long throw. It's about all they've got at the moment. But Simon Murray clears from under the bar, and he's involved again because he's now booked for taking out Cadden. So Simon Murray, former Hibs player of course, a yellow card on his return to Easter Road. But Dundee do lead by a goal to nil. Rangers lead by a Cyril Dessers goal to nil. There's no point, Gordon, in always looking for the negatives, because they've been there a lot for Rangers at the start of the season. Having said that, the fans probably would really be looking to make this a 2-0 lead going into the break, just because they've been so dominant. And it just leaves that possibility that Philippe Clement himself said that he got to kill games off quicker.
Yeah, and I totally agree with the manager. He'll be frustrated as well. He'll be looking at it and think, do you know what? We're playing very well. We're attacking this team, but they're not getting the end product. They're not blowing teams away, which they should be doing, because Ross County can't have went to Hampden with any confidence after last weekend. They've went a goal behind, and you think to yourself, right, okay, if Rangers keep going, get quality balls in the box, and they've missed one or two guilty-edged chances, you've got to say. But I think the Rangers manager's hoping for another goal.
Talking about Hibs playing from the back, someone sent me the clip of Tottenham's second goal, Jordan Pickford having an absolute mare. You'll want to check that out for a laugh on Match of the Day if you're not a Everton fan, of course.
The Toffees are having a nightmare.
Oh, three nil to Brighton.
Yeah.
Day one. Sean Dyche already on the slippery slope.
Would have been five if Matt O'Reilly had played, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Still early on in the season.
You wouldn't want to mess with him. With that
big
voice.
Sean would say.
I told you I'd seen him at Silverstone last year, and he was having a fair old day. Spilling drinks left, right, and centre. But nobody dared say anything to him.
Brighton Ipswich next week, incidentally. Sorry, Celtic fans. I know this is really rubbing it in and getting ahead of ourselves, but would that be a debut for Matt O'Reilly, you could go down. We could send you on Matt O'Reilly watch since you are a Seagulls fan.
How could you put him straight into the team? They're flying.
Why not?
They're flying.
Why pay £25 million for him and not play him?
Played 40 for his pal the other day, didn't they? So.
Right, so that's not a lot of money there. And plus the fact, look, they've beat Manchester United today. Uh-huh. They've beat the Toffees 3-0. They're flying.
I'll get me 10 minutes off the bench. I wave them on.
I totally agree with you, Gordon. I think they'll bed them in off the bench.
Long range shot from Sidibe for St Johnston goes past the far post. Not quite the blistering start to that game that we saw at Tannadice in the Dundee Derby at the start of the season. A bit of a quieter affair. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think United look okay going forward. It's just maybe defensively, they're susceptible to losing goals. But St Johnstone, I've been surprised with St Johnstone.
Up front, they're decent.
Well, often that will carry you in a season. If you get two that you can keep fit but are mobile, that are quick, score a goal here and there, and they've got that. So I just wonder, I've got that one down as a draw, I think. That'll be a 1-1, I think.
I fancy the Super Jays.
Super Jays?
Yeah, I fancy St Johnstone.
What they're called, the Super Jays.
They're called in that in my day.
Yeah, no breakthrough yet in that one. Still 1-0 to Dundee at Easter Road. Still 1-0 to Rangers against Ross County at Hampden. Down the leagues, the big talking point from the Falkirk Partick Thistle game.
It's still in?
Has not been in front of goal. It's been outside the stands where a lot of Partick Thistle fans can't get in. And Partick Thistle down to 10 men. Rangers passed up another big chance a couple of moments ago as well, by the way. It was Rabi Matondo. There was a ball over the top. He got through, headed it wide. I think
You've
he was,
got to start putting these chances in the
I think
back.
He may have been offside anyway.
Was he?
But I'm not sure the flag went up. It's one of those where the player hopes the flag goes up. Yes, and it did. It was offside. Raith Rovers are down to 10 men as well.
Oh, who gets sent off?
In discipline, sweeping the championship this afternoon. I don't know what's going on there. It was Sean Byrne who handled in the box.
The weather's iffy. That always gets them.
Penalty air.
Oh.
So it must have been right. Must have been that sort of denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity with the hand. Like deliberately, sort of thing, because they've tried to
save. That's a dying art now. Remember, you used to see that quite a lot, quite often. Somebody on the line and making a save.
Yeah.
You don't see it.
Because they've tweaked that a bit this season. You remember. Do you remember?
Some of the goals, don't they?
Remember Ibrox. Ibrox towards the end of last season, Kilmarnock, Joe Wright got sent off because the ball hit arm on the line. Yeah. And everyone felt, that's quite harsh. So this season, that would only be a yellow.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a red this season.
I think that's justified.
It was the right decision at the time, by the way. It's just they've tweaked things about. Anton Dowds is going to take a penalty for Ayr United.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And that's a big swing in that one. Raith Rovers down to 10 men. Ayr United scoring from the penalty. And it's 4-4 in the league for Anton Dowds this season. A great start for him.
And it's possibly 4-4 for Ayr United in terms of wins. And Scott Brown and his team setting a blistering pace there, and Roger Hanna describing a ground that's much changed from when Gordon Dale was the manager there, and they seem to be heading in an upward direction.
Do you know, I've still got the photos of the new stadium under my bed from all the time I was there.
What do you mean?
Because we were going to build a new stadium.
Oh, like the artist's impression type.
Absolutely
thing.
Beautiful.
So when you binned all your medals from under your bed, you kept the pictures. I kept
the
floor,
You don't strike me as the sort of guy to take those architect images home with you.
I get handed them back and I had to put them in the house somewhere. I kept it a secret.
What other bits of paperwork do you keep under your bed? Don't answer that. John Souter has a header tipped over from a corner. St Johnstone thought maybe they had a shout for a penalty. VAR took a look. Trapanovsky brought down Matty Smith, but in the end the officials say no to that one. So we're in that sort of last 5 minutes. Rangers are definitely worth their lead. They're probably worth more than one, but they've not found it yet. So we'll see what the last few minutes of the half has in store. East 5-1 Stirling Albion. Oh sorry, Stirling Albion 0 East 5-1.
There'll be an element of frustration for Philippe Clement, because he'll know, he's looking at it, he knows that they're the dominant side, but chance has been passed up and things of a close nature, like John Souter. But if you go in at 1-0, it's still that insufficient lead. You're still liable for the sucker punch, although Ross County have done nothing since The early chance that brought a good save from Jack Butland.
He's surely got to be happier, you know, with this 45 minutes than he has with previous ones. No doubt about it. If you're creating chances, they look more fluid like they have done.
The first half against Motherwell was okay, to be fair. It was okay. It just fell apart quite a bit after that.
You know, reports, I think he'd be happier with today, but can they sustain that? And that's been the problem. They fall out of games and allow the opposition in.
Nicky Cadden's going to have another goal from a similar free kick in terms of distance for Hibs to try and pull them level. He would take anything, set piece, mistake, absolutely anything to try and get level.
Desperate to get back in.
Difficult
game.
Spot.
Desperate to get back in, especially at home.
Miles over the bar this time.
Yeah, unlucky. And they'll have a big crowd there. I like the crowd at Easter Road. They turn out in good numbers, Mark.
I think it'll be starting to dwindle if they keep playing like this.
The crowds have been great this year. There is a decent crowd today, You know, you look about the grounds and you see it on TV.
Gabriel can tell us how Hampden's looking, because that's obviously been the subject of much speculation, debate, because the European games, the St Johnstone game, not on the season ticket. So clearly they were particularly small. Much better today, because it is on the season ticket. So much better. Not full, but better.
Well, as I say, the Rangers, you would have to think, surely they would go on and eventually build on what they have, and then hope that a St Mirren side at home who can get a bit lively, big crowd there for them tomorrow. And you always have to work for anything you get at Paisley, so they have to hope that Celtic minus O'Reilly are temporarily on there.
There's some good fixtures tomorrow, Hugh.
There are still about 10,000 empty seats at Hampden, though, so there's still just don't fancy it.
Is it 50?
It's very similar to Ibrox,
Listen, it's everybody complains about getting in and out with the traffic and everything like that as well. I don't think Rangers supporters do like the fact that they're at Hampden, Gordon. But to be fair, the ones that have turned out today, well done to them.
Well, as we said, it might be the final league game there. We'll wait and see what happens at the start of next month. But there are two away games coming up. There's an international break coming up. So it could well be that this is the final time we have this conversation, but we'll wait and see. Stenhouse Muir have equalised against Cove Rangers. Corey O'Donnell, he's 5-2 up at Stirling Albion. Rangers do always just have to be careful, because Ross County did break forward, and it was another good effort, another decent save, like one you would expect them to make. But it was Aidan Denham who drove through the middle, hit a low shot. Jack Butland saves it. So Rangers need to be careful.
And apparently, I don't know why they do that. I've seen Rangers doing this a few times. It came from apparently
Rangers corner.
And all of a sudden the team breaks up the park and puts them under a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, it's not a let off, but a warning sign, you would say, for Rangers. The half time whistles are starting to go. Airdrie 0, Queen's Park 2, which tells me, Hugh, we should probably do this.
Okay.
The first half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Since 2019, six Scots have scored in the playoff round of a European competition for a Scottish club. They are Nicky Devlin, did it for Aberdeen against BK Hacken. Lawrence Shankland did it for Hearts against Pauk. Lewis Ferguson, Aberdeen versus Carabag. James Forrest, Celtic versus AIK. Lewis Morgan in the same game versus AIK. And Chris Kane, St Johnstone against Lask in 2021.
I'll tell you who's won. We've got all sorts happening here.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
This is exactly what Rangers needed. It's 2-0 just before the break, and it is Rabi Matondo. They've had to make a change. Leon Balogun's gone off. Mohamed Diamande's come on. Dujon Sterling's gone to centre back. Yeah. But Rabi Matondo's scored, as has.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Martin Boyle of Hibs. They really, really needed it. It was a free kick about 23 yards out, an absolute belter just before half time, and Hibs are level. And in the big game in Glasgow, Gordon, we said it before, just one of these like cliches, 2-0 at half time is so different from one. That's what Rangers needed. It's kind of what they've lacked this season,
and it's what the manager wanted. They've been the better side, Gordon. Yes, there are one or two warning signs for Ross County, but that goal surely puts this game to bed now. Now, the big question thing now for the manager and the players is, can they go out and get a real good, comfortable win and a few goals in the second half?
Yeah, without doubt. You know, a good way to finish a half makes it more comfortable. And that, yeah, you're right, they need a bit of daylight so that they can actually relax and enjoy a game rather than being probably on edge all the time. So that gives them a wee bit of space. And over at Easter Road, I mean, what a time to score a goal. Just before half time, what a different reaction you're going to get from the crowd.
No one had mentioned Martin Boyle's name.
Yeah.
You brought us periodic information from Easter Road. Martin Boyle was never mentioned, and like all strikers who are good, he pops up.
Half time at Falkirk, here's Fraser.
It is, it's half time, it's Falkirk 0, Partick Thistle 0. The game really hasn't quite got going, a really promising start, but it's been a bit stop start since then. A few injury breaks for head knocks, number of yellow cards. Partick down to 10 men after Ben Stanway was sent off, picking up two yellow cards, but all the chances were for Falkirk. Really good bright start to the game. Partick Thistle positive, pushing forward early on. Falkirk with the first chance though in 4 minutes. Ethan Ross cut in from the left hand side past a couple of defenders, curled his 18 yard shot inches wide. It looked like the goalkeeper had beaten, and Ross had been very lively throughout. He's caused by Siri Williams all sorts of problems on the wing. His fellow winger Callum Miller was next up, a low shot clutched by Roberts at his near post as Falkirk began to dominate the possession. Tate Spencer, excellent. Miller again cut in from the right hand side, hit again, left foot shot to the near post, even better save from Roberts to his left to just push the ball past the post. This one not really creating much. You saying Casper Nielsen had a chance, he took too long and allowed Sean Mackey to block. Then Ben Stanway for a reckless challenge and Rico Diak were booked in quick succession. This came back to haunt Stanway in 25 minutes when he was given a second yellow card for simulation inside the Falkirk box. And to be fair to the lad, he had his jersey over his face. He looked very upset and embarrassed as he walked off the park. And what was going to be a tough day for the Jags, called Donaldson with a fierce shot beaten away by Miles Roberts. In 30 minutes, Thistle's first shot on target. Good first touch by Rico Diak in the box. He got his shot away quickly, was denied by a really good low save to his right by Nicky Hogarth. But Falkirk pushed forward towards the break. Called Donaldson tested Roberts with a fierce shot before Sean Mackey hit the bar with a 25-yard rocket. It's been pretty tetchy on and off the pitch. Thistle fans unhappy with referee Lloyd Wilson. Thistle players and fans becoming frustrated. The players just need to be careful. Three of them are on yellow cards already. So back to the ball, 45 minutes ahead for Partick Thistle here. Half time, Falkirk 0, Partick Thistle 0.
Half time, Hamden. Here's Gabriel.
Rangers 2, Ross County 0 at the interval. Cyril Dess as well taking goal, put them in control. Ravi Matondo doubled the advantage just before the break. In the 18th minute, it was Dessers who put the hosts in front. His fourth goal of the season. Great work from Tom Lawrence in midfield. He took the ball so well on the turn, beat his man with a shimmy, slipped the ball through to the striker. The Nigerian took his time, tucked it away expertly. Lawrence then had the chance 2 minutes later to double the lead. Dessers returned the favour, but Lawrence pulled the shot wide with his left foot. Really should have scored. Ravi Matondo rattled the bar a few minutes later. He should have done much better, but he did get his goal 1 minute before the break. A good ball in from the right. Matondo got in front of his man to turn the ball in from close range. You've got to say, Rangers have looked really dangerous on the break with County so open at the back. Real attacking intent, much better and more fluid going forward. Created plenty of chances and probably should be more than 2-0 up, Gordon. Ronan Hale for the visitors forced Jack Butland into an early double save, but other than a late Adam Dennell break and good strike, Ross County have offered nothing going forward. Philippe Clement will be so pleased his side have their second here as the rain starts to hammer down at the National Stadium. Rangers in total control. Half time at Hampden, Rangers 2, Ross County 0.
It's also half time at Ayr United, Raith Rovers. Roger Hannah.
Yes, Ayr United 1, Raith Rovers 0 at the break. Gordon, reserved lead for Scott Brown's Championship leaders. It could have been ahead in 19 minutes. Marco Roos, the Romanian midfielder, having a shot blocked in the penalty area. Then 6 minutes later, Jamie Murphy hit the outside of the post from an acute angle. But the game exploded in controversy after 38 minutes. It all began a dreadful kick out from Raith goalkeeper Kevin Dabrowski, who's trying to play a pass into his deep-lying midfielder. The ball get pinched on the edge of the Raith box. Jay Henderson and Anton Dowds went in on goal. Sean Byrne tried to get back, he slipped, he was on the ground, Henderson was poised for a shot and Byrne just handled it away out of his reach, so he couldn't get the shot and goal. The referee, instead, to his credit, initially wave play on Anton Dowd's, got a shot in. Dabrowski made a terrific save to push it behind, but the referee brought play back for a penalty kick. He flashed a straight red card at Wraith midfielder Byrne, and he gave Anton Dowd's the chance for a fourth goal in four championship games this season, and he sent Dabrowski the wrong way from the spot. It could have been 2-0 before the break. Young 17-year-old right back Dylan Watford in his first league start for here crossed the ball into the danger area. There was a complete fresh air kick by George Oakley, but it fell for his strike partner Dowd, whose shot was blocked at close range. Otherwise, this would have been completely gone for managerless Wraith. At the break, they're still in it, but only just. Ayr United 1, Wraith Rovers 0.
Also, half time between Hibs and Dundee, David Friel.
Yeah, half time, Gordon. Hibs 1, Dundee 1. Quite remarkable first half. It's level at the break. I don't know how, but I think Hibs boss David Gray will be a relieved man right now. He does decide to cut out the basic mistakes at the back, but it was more of the same as Dundee took the lead through Scott Tiffany in 9 minutes. However, Martin Boyle's wonderful free kick in 44 minutes. What a goal it was. Has hauled Hibs right back in. Dundee have been excellent. They've been by far the better team. Really slick, energetic, but they have been rash with fouls on the edge of the box, and Hibs finally made them pay with that Boyle goal. As I said, Hibs gifted Dundee the opening goal. Jordan Abita appeared to have an easy clearance but kicked it straight to Lyle Cameron. He showed terrific composure, found Scott Tiffany 10 yards out, and his finish was outstanding. 10 minutes later, Dundee thought they'd made it 2-0. Lyle Cameron again deflected shot. It flew past Joseph Bursick, but Seb Palmer holding his straight just inches offside in the build-up. It was such a close call, and ref Colin Stephen ruled it out. Hibs did start to threaten from set pieces round about the half hour mark. Nicky Cadden wasted a couple of free kicks in the edge of the box before Martin Boyle took over after Billy Cometio's wild challenge in Joe Newell. It was a really bad tackle. Boyle grabbed the ball and he curled his shot into the top corner in 44 minutes. What a goal. Immediately the mood was lifted to Easter Road. Dundee have been a better team, but Hibs are now right back in this game. Half time, Hibs 1, Dundee 1.
So that's the halftime whistles going pretty much everywhere. I forgot to tell you who had won the first half teaser because we get interrupted by so many late goals, but Derek FM was in third place, Matondo Prop in second, and Michael Smith was the winner. I will give you a halftime report from Dundee United against St Johnstone next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale in the studio. We've given you halftime reports from all but one of our featured matches. All that's left for us to do is bring you the story from Dundee United against St Johnstone with Dave Galloway.
Half-time at Tannadice, Dundee United 0, St Johnstone 0. A lively enough start without much being created, and neither keeper with much to do. Play went from end to end but was really scrappy for Dundee United. David Babunski volleyed way over from just outside the box, and Saints' Matty Smith saw his effort from just inside his own half go well off target following Jack Walton's miskick. Some nice passages of play from both teams, but the final ball, well, it really was lacking. The visitors had a penalty claim rejected after a VAR review when Matty Smith went down under Christian Trapanovsky's challenge, and Adama Sidibe was booked for handball after a long ball up the park. And then Saints defender, as the interval approached, Andre Raymond had an unbelievable miss from just a few yards out. Benji Kimpioka went round the keeper, hit the post from a tight angle, and then Raymond, well, he somehow managed to shoot over the bar. A competitive first half, but really lacking quality. Dundee United 0, St Johnstone 0.
The half-time break then getting towards its conclusion. Will there be substitutions made? Will there be big managerial team talks happening? We'll find out soon. We'll go back to Hampden after these.